Translation, text 61. Pandit Haridas had great faith in Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Therefore, he took great satisfaction in knowing about their pastimes and qualities. Text 62. He always accepted the good qualities of Vaishnavas and never found fault in them. He engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. It is a qualification of a Vaishnava that he is a dosha darshi. He never sees others' faults. Of course, every human being has both good qualities and faults. Therefore, it is said, sajana gunam ichanti dosham ichanti pumarai upamara. Everyone has a combination of faults and glories. But a Vaishnava, a sober man, accepts only a man's glories and not his faults. For flies seek sores, whereas honeybees seek honey. Haridas Pandit never found fault with a Vaishnava, but considered only his good qualities. Here Krishna Das Kaviraj is describing the glories of Haridas Pandit, and also we spoke previously on the about Haridas Pandit. He was a chief priest of the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan. he was the second generation in Shishu of the Gadadhar Pandit, whose spiritual master was Ananta something. And he was a disciple of Ananta. And he was also the guru of the glorious Gangamati Mataji, which we spoke of last time also. So he is glorifying, and also it was Haridas Pandit that also inspired and pushed Krishnadas Kaviraj to write the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And it says here, because he had great faith in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he never tired of hearing there. Pastimes, found great satisfaction in hearing their pastimes. And he never ever saw faults in others. Rather, he saw only their good qualities, which is one of the qualities of the Vaishnava. Of the 26 qualities Krishna lists in the Bhagavad Gita of the devotee, one of them is aversion to fault finding. It's not difficult to find fault, as Prabhupada says. Everyone has some good qualities and some not so good qualities. That's understood. Even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, every endeavor is covered with fault. That means you can't really do anything perfectly. So there'll always be room for improvement and always room for criticism if you want. Just like we're in the material world, everyone is faulty. Body means fault. If you got a material body, there's an expression that there's some defect, fault. Otherwise, why are we taking the material body? We have some fault, in as much as that we have some affiliation for having a separate mentality from Krishna's desire, separate idea, a self-interest, selfish interest, which is a fault, because essentially we are the, by nature, the eternal servants of Krishna. And we that relationship is based on faith and love. But now, due to misuse of our independence, we've become separated. So that is a great fault. The material world is a fault. The whole Brahmanda is a fault. People try to make the world a nice place. There's so many great thinkers and philanthropists and other people have come and gone. But nothing really changes. Birth, old age, disease, death, they remain. It's the same thing, is it? The material world is a faulty place, Krishna says. It's a dukkalayam. Ashritam dukkalayam, that's Krishna's vision of the material world. He's created it. So that everything in the whole Brahmanda is unnecessary for Krishna and his pastimes. But because we've chosen something different, then Krishna creates this unnecessary thing. And he gives us his bodies, which are unnecessary. But of course, now they're necessary, because without them you can't function. And you can't get back to our original position without the use of the senses and the body. But obviously there's fault. Everything we're trying to do, there's some fault. So it's not difficult to find fault. Anyone, if you look at some, study someone long enough, you can find fault, however perfect they may be, you see. And the nature of the materialistic mentality is that we actually like to find fault as a materialistic person. Because the idea of the hankara of the living entities here, the false identity, we want to be in the topmost person. Everyone likes to be successful, everyone likes to be the center of attention. It's a nice feeling. So that's desirable. Everyone wants to be on the top of their specific field, right? Everyone's striving for that. To be popular and to be ultimately it means to be worshipped, because that's actually Krishna's position. He is the top in everything. He's the Supreme Personality. So whatever he does is fantastic. And he has all those. He is the tops. He's the most beautiful, the most wise, the most richest, strongest, the most renounced. All of those qualities Krishna has in full. That's why he's that's how we distinguish him, known as Bhagavan, one who possesses those qualities in full. And they're all attractive, those qualities. Renunciation may be not so attractive for some people, but all the others, people desire those. But because we always see, and we would like to be in that position also, Krishna's covered with it with avidya as we come into the material world. So we've forgotten our actual position, and at Krishna's position, we've forgotten that. So there's a vacancy. We can take that position. We can be the Parama Purusha. We can be supreme. But unfortunately, there's always someone better than us. There's always someone who's excelling us in any field. Even if we get to the top, if we become the world champion, they don't stay for long, 1 year, right? So if they do it in 2 years, they're doing well, you know. But it's never long, because there's always competition, there's always new people coming up. So this is the struggle of competition. And so it's, if we see some, although we can't remain supreme, at least if we can spot defects in another person and point them out, by pointing them out, it pushes them down, so it makes us feel as if we're more elevated, you see. That's the psychology of the of envy. Become critical. Even though we're not actually moving up, if we criticize others and tell everyone how bad they are, then automatically we feel a little, you know, better than them. So that's a horrible coverings that we've adopted, forced upon us. And they say if you've got a dirty pot, no matter how well you cook the sweet rice, it's not going to be so good, is it? So we're working with this body, which is a result of karma and lust and a rebellion to Krishna. This is an expression. The body is an expression of our rebellion of Krishna, the material body. So you can't expect, you know, everything to be first class that comes out. There must be some fault. So therefore, you can always criticize. Of course, criticism is there. There's room for criticism. But the teacher's position, like the guru's position, is to chastise or criticize. That, he can do that. We can never do that. The culture is, we never do it to our superiors. That's for sure. And then there's certain ways to address issues that even not directly. I think it was Gurudas Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, if the temple president, the authority is off, not following properly, should we still follow them? Prabhupada said, yes, you should still follow them. He said, you're 100% sure he's actually off. He's not right. Prabhupada said, yeah, you still follow. Because if he's off, he's not following, then you don't follow, then everything's going to stop. He said, but at least if you follow, even if he's off, you're following, the movement is going still. And in due course of time, Krishna will correct that. He said, but if he's off and you stop, that means you're off, then nothing will happen. So you tolerate, you pray to Krishna. If there is need of someone needs correcting, of course we can't correct the superiors. That's not the culture. Then it has to be told. If you find something, the fault in somebody, a genuine fault, what we believe is a genuine fault, then one should go to that person's peer or that person's superior and tell them. Directly you cannot tell. If there is no other opportunity to tell anyone else, then the approach must be done in complete humility. That you have to give, although we think this person is wrong, we have to give scope that he's senior to me, and maybe he knows something I don't know. So you've got to give the benefit of the doubt. This way you can go in with straw in your teeth. You can say, Prabhu, I have heard like this. I've always been taught like this, but now I see that you're doing this or saying this, and I'm confused. Can you please enlighten me? And then we've come to him in submission. So the etiquette is, if someone comes in submission, then you have to show mercy. That's the etiquette. You have to be kind to those. Someone is accepting a junior position. So then he may enlighten us from his point, angle of vision, why he's doing or doing it that way or saying like that. And he may have a perspective that we haven't come across yet. So he may be right. So we can't jump to conclusions because we think he's wrong. Or if he's wrong, then if he's a gentleman, then he'll, now he's on the spot. He has to explain himself. So if he's a gentleman, they realize that actually he was wrong. Or if he's not so advanced or humble, then he may get a little angry and say, you know, something. But that's why it's always, generally always best, if it's possible, to go to a superior. So there's always, but there's always, you can always find something if you want to. Here it says like the, Prabhupada was saying like the flies. They always find the, if you got a cart, the fly comes from nowhere, straight on there, right? Very expert, hones in. Or if you hold a black sheet up and it's got a white sheet, it's got one black spot, everyone's eyes will go to the black spot. That's right, something different. But, you know, there'll be someone somewhere to find criticism in anything. This is the nature of this material world. Example of, there was one man, he's going to the market with his son, and they got on the donkey with their goods. And as they were walking down the road, they passed one person, he said, shame on you, this poor donkey, see how he's straining and everything, you're loading him up with, you have no sensitivity for this poor animal. Shame. So then, okay. So then the sun got off. Then they're walking a little farther, another person comes. What kind of father are you? You're sitting comfortably on a donkey and you're letting your son walk? What is this? Cruelty of the son. You don't have respect for the poetry. Abusing your children like this, making them walk in the hot sun, you're sitting on the donkey? Okay, then he gets off the donkey, puts his son on the donkey. Another fellow comes. Ali, what's happened to your culture? The son allows the father to walk while he's sitting on a donkey? This is not our culture, what's wrong with it? So then they both get off and walk. And then someone says, hey, what foolishness, you have a donkey to carry, and now you're walking with a donkey, what's the foolishness? So in any, so many combinations in that example, other things also. There's so many various, but someone, there's always someone there to find fault. If you want to find it, you can find it. It's not difficult. So rather, you don't find the. We look for the good qualities, because what good does it? Unless you're in a position of a teacher, someone's junior, and it's your position to actually correct them or guide them, then we shouldn't. It's not necessary. It doesn't really do much good. Rather, if we glorify somebody's qualities, that will encourage them. And that was, of course, Srila Prabhupada was very critical of many things, but he had reason to. He was the Jagat Guru, so he could criticize the whole material world and the situation, the consciousness, and chastise his disciples also. Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave a nice example how to be nice and correct somebody. That she made an apple pie for him. He liked apple pie. Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And it blooped. The thing blooped. She knew it. It wasn't be nice. So then, he got to him and he ate some of it. And then he asked, who cooked this apple pie? And then he said, Tamal Krishna Maharaj wants to see you. And he asked, did you cook this apple pie? He said, yes, Maharaj, shaking. That was the best apple pie I ever tasted in my life. Oh, yes, the texture was really great, and this cream on it was really nice. And she knew it was lousy. But just by that, she had that great respect, and that he was chastised in a beautiful way, you know, because she actually knew that it wasn't a good okay. So that's expertise. We hear of the danger of criticism. It's actually a demoniac nature to find criticism in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the divine and demoniac section. It mentions there how they love fault finding. Demoniacs love to fault find because it makes me feel better. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, when I see other people happy, that is a source of my sorrow. When I see people suffering, that is a source of my happiness. That's the mentality of it. You're down. If you're down, there's a story from the Bible. A person is employed, and he gets his £50 a day. It was a good wage. And he agrees, and he's working. Then another person comes, and that person gets £60. And immediately the first person is dissatisfied. Before he was satisfied, it was a decent, you know, money. But because then he understands someone else is getting more for doing the same thing, immediately he's dissatisfied. So that's how it is. But it's just a mental adjustment that, you know, someone is better than me. I think I told last time, there was a survey done, I think it was in the UK. Would you prefer a 50-pound raise in your salary, and everyone gets it, or a 20-pound raise, and only you get it. And you know what they voted for? The majority? 20 pounds. You're going to work for money, right? That's why you're there. But that feeling that I've got it, I'm special. That's the mentality there. We want that feeling of uniqueness, because that's Krishna's position. He is unique. He is special. He is the center of attention. And but if we and depending on the status of the person that we criticize, then we know that Vaishnava aparadha is the worst kind of aparadha, because that can actually destroy sukriti. It can actually eat away your spiritual piety. Whereas, like, normally seva aparadhas, nama aparadhas, you get over them by more seva, more chanting, and they're not so serious. But if you offend the devotee, because the devotee is the only way out of the material world for the living entities, so they're very, very special in Krishna's eyes, and he won't tolerate. The one incident was in Srila Rupa Goswami. He was doing his bhajan and he was in samadhi, and he was entering into the pastime of Krishna, Lila Smaran, very advanced. On the stage of Bhava and Prema, you can actually envision the pastimes of Krishna in your heart. And you know, Krishna and these friends, they're very witty, and they're always cracking these witty jokes and things, saying these things. So then Rupa Goswami, he began to laugh. He was sitting there, but in samadhi, but he began to laugh at such a wonderful display of humor and how witty they were. At that time, there was a person who had a bodily defect walking past. And as he walked past him, Rupa Goswami began to laugh. So obviously he thought he's laughing at my disability, defect. And at that time then Rupa Goswami's samadhi broke. So, and he couldn't understand, and he couldn't go back into that samadhi. And then I forget all the details, but it came to light. I think this person was may have told somebody else how come. But then it was explained because that person had taken offense, even though it was unintentional. It wasn't actually an offense, because he was laughing at something else. But that person took his offense, and he was a Vaishnava, but he wasn't on the category of Srila Rupa Goswami, obviously. But because of that, even though he's lesser, then Rupa Goswami samadhi was broken. So that's how volatile the association with devotees is. One has to be very, very cautious in the association of devotees. And there are a few examples, there are quite a number of examples in our scripture. The Daksha, he lost his head for offending Lord Shiva, criticizing Lord Shiva. Big mess. Made a big mess. Haridas Thakur, big reaction. Nityananda Prabhu, he came to that same person that I think it was the same person that tried to make Haridas Thakur fall down, wasn't he? Ramchandra Khan? He tried to make Haridas, because he was envious of Haridas Thakur. He was a Brahmana. Was it Chakravarti or? Khan? Oh, that was a different story. That was a different one. But then Lord Nityananda came in his village, and Nityananda was in his courtyard, because he's a Zamadar, big man. He has day of mandap, where the big man in the village, they generally have a big space where they have public programs, and the public come there. They have temple or mandapam where they worship different the gods, you know, different festivals, they bring the different deities there. So Nityananda was there with some associates, and devotees were hearing him. And this person, he was very proud, and he began to criticize Lord Nityananda, and he sent his messenger, servant, saying that our master has asked you to, this place is not suitable for you, it's a little small, but why don't you go to the Goshala? There's a nice big area there in the cow barn, you can sit there, that would be more suitable for you. And Nityananda became very angry. Nityananda is the Adiguru. He became very angry. He said, yes, this place is not fit for us. This place is only fit for meat-eating javanas. And he left. And, was it Ramchandrakan? Name is Ramchandrakan? Yes. So he was on behalf of the government. He used to collect taxes, I believe. And he was, you know, fiddling a little bit, not giving the whole money. And that time it was a Mohammedan government. So they came there and they caught him right after that. They said, Adha Gokulana, Sidharama, Samhaman, Nithai God. Yay. And so he lost his job. They looted his house. They said, indeed, they cooked a cow there, right in the Durga Mandap. They cooked cow meat for 3 consecutive days, and they were going to loot the village also. And so they said, that is a result of offending a great personality. He was ruined. Not only that, he says, the whole area gets affected. They're innocent people. But because of one, the offense against such an exalted Vaishnava, the whole area has to pay for that. There are different examples there. So we should just be absorbed in our service, and come together and have kirtans. We're all in the same boat. We all have our suffering from imperfect senses, tendency to cheat. And we're all here together to try to get out. So, one example is given, if someone's taking a shower, what's the use of pointing out that you have some dirt on your body? If they're in the shower, it's gonna come off. They're taking the bath. So we're in here. We're in the material world. We've come from the material world. Now we're in the we've got a spiritual oasis which has been created for us by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We have every opportunity. It made it so easy for us to remember Krishna anytime and surrender to Krishna anytime. It's so easy. The whole thing has been given to us. All we have to do is engage in service and engage in kirtan with our god brothers and sisters. Then there's no need for it. All these other things are unnecessary. Let the teachers correct. and it's understood, you know, in a hospital, it says you don't expect to find. You expect to find sick people. So like that, in the material world, everyone is sick. So in We get it. As long as we're taking the medicine, as long as we find the process, that will eventually all become be free from all these bad qualities that we have, all these anathas that we have, that is a result of bhajana kriya. So chanting, dancing, doing our bhajan, the result is all these unwanted things will go away. And as mentioned earlier, all the good qualities of the demigods will develop in a devotee as one advances, without any separate endeavor. And Lord Chaitanya also, he's showing that example that if he were to discriminate, then there wouldn't be any hope for those in Kali Yuga. This incarnation is like unprecedented, that he knows that no one can become qualified in Kali Yuga. Nobody can come to the platform of Sudhasattva to approach him. By what method you will follow? Those methods don't work in Kali Yuga. This age is too oppressive. Gyan, yoga, and karma, they don't work in Kali Yuga. So there's no hope. And understanding our condition, Lord Caitanya is not asking, he's not looking for qualification, because he knows he won't find it. So he's very merciful. He says we're full of faults. so faulty, you can't even really bring the usual dharma to get to that we could follow a practice to get us out of the modes of nature. It's so bad this age that we can't even do that. So Mahaprabhu has waived all that. He's not considering our faults. He's not considering our inadequacies. He says, give up your sinful activities, because that will make your progress very slow. and chant Hare Krishna. Somehow assist the devotees in taking the Sankirtan movement to enlighten all the human beings and the planet. And do that, that's enough. And I'll accept that service, whatever little service it is. So maybe, and there's so much service that we can do. It's all part of the Sankirtan, whatever we're doing. And we can glorify the devotees all day for what they're doing. How nice the deities look. So inspiring for us when we come, they have the festivals. And the place is nice, the gardens are so beautiful and maintained nicely. You know, so many devotees, big endeavor going behind that, we don't see. We just see the beautiful gardens. Then the temple's cleaned, but we don't see what's going on behind it. The rents has to be paid, and the preaching, the fantastic preaching is going on. It's a lot of endeavor. There's a lot of infrastructure that we don't actually see. That's all done by devotees doing their service. So there's unlimited scope for glorifying those devotees. Generally, when they leave their body, then we glorify them for a day. That's all. But anyone is taking a part to keep the Sankirtan mission alive and dynamic, and spreading Krishna consciousness. Then they're glorious for all of their faults, as Prabhupada said, for all of our faults. But that's his mercy, he's not looking. That was Prabhupada's mercy also. When he came, he never mentioned anything about rules and regulations, and no one would have joined. He said, first, get them to chant Hare Krishna, then the rules can come later. And out of his mercy, he was, because Prabhupada came from a very cultured background. And look how the condition he was living in the Bowery. Such uncultured people, the devotees, Prabhupada, there was one bathroom, Prabhupada stood in line. People were so uncultured, the devotees, they didn't even say, Prabhupada, you go first sometimes. And they used to come and eat and go and leave everything. Prabhupada, after he cooked and served them, then he would actually clean up. So it wasn't for a long time, maybe we should do something. That was the kind of people that Prabhupada was dealing with, such an exalted personality. So he's dealing with it, because he knows they're full of faults. They don't have any culture, they don't have any understanding, they don't have any sukriti practically. And Prabhupada said it's like trying to wash coal to train these people. Trying to wash coal, very difficult. And one time, another story with Tamakrishna Maharaj, Tamakrishna Maharaj had to have an operation. So the Prabhupada said, you should go to the West and have it. You'll get better facilities. But he had it in Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada actually went to the hospital to see him. And he told Srila Prabhupada, I had a dream. He said, you were making a report to the whole parampara. The whole parampara was there. And you were making this report. And you were saying, that these boys, these people I'm dealing with, I'm training, he said, they have no good qualities. He said, they don't know cleanliness, they don't know proper behavior. He said, but there's one good thing. He said, they will do whatever I say they will do. The Prabhupada said, yes. They will do. So that's it. That was his, by his kindness, by his mercy, overlooking all of the faults, he just captured those people by his humility and his love and his graciousness that they were willing to do. Prabhupada said, the best way to manage, he said, is to get them to love you. So if you're in a managing position, you get your team to love you, then they'll do anything you want without, but they'll be happy to do it, right? So that's a very wonderful method. So we see that example is that Lord Chaitanya's doing it, he's not considering disqualification. So we also shouldn't consider disqualification. Because people get so mental, whoever it is, I'm so fallen, my sin can't get this, that, and the other. Mahaprabhu knows that. He knows we're fallen. He knows our minds are uncontrolled. He knows our senses are wild. He knows that. He's not worrying about it. Why we should make a big thing about it? Whatever we're at, whatever modes we're affected by, you serve Krishna like that. You can do service. Doesn't matter if you're crazy. You can still do service. And it's accepted, you see. That's a wonderful thing. So we shouldn't be too upset about, you know, getting rid of all the bad qualities and becoming... They'll come automatically if you actually sincerely surrender to Krishna. They'll automatically come. That's mentioned here. So that is why one of the reasons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanaya. It's the most merciful incarnation. He's accepting service from people who haven't gone through any kind of purificatory system to come to the platform of Sudha Sattva. Then they can actually, the Lord will actually accept their service. Mahaprabhu was getting direct devotional service. So this process he's given, it's the means and the end. He's actually giving direct devotional service, and he's accepting it. So that will actually, by that way, that would purify us of all of our faults. There's no need to work on them separately. By practicing karma, jnana, yoga, to get rid of these faults and develop good qualities, there's no need for that, because Mahaprabhu is not required, and that takes, you know, lifetimes also to get to that platform of Sudha Sattva. Generally, it's not required. Mahaprabhu will accept our service as we are. So that is the kindness of the Lord and his devotees who are taking on that same mood. They're going out to meet people and all kinds of subspecies of humanity and dealing with them. And I heard a lot of devotees went to one festival in Glastonbury last night, whole night festival. It's the longest day of the year. What do you call it? Stonehenge, yeah. And there'll be hundreds and thousands of crazy people there, staying up all night doing whatever they do. And the devotees will be there chanting Hare Krishna, because there are thousands of people there. They'll be there, so, and they'll stay up all night, and they'll be cooking food and distributing prasad and giving them the mercy like that. And they say that some people, you know, they even manage to take some people back, and they change their lives immediately. The sound vibration will go out there. Many people will get purified by that and by taking prasad. And some people actually have a great transformation, and give up their crazy way of life and take to devotional service. So that's mercy. The devotees making a great sacrifice. So there are many, many devotees here who can be glorified, who are not glorified enough, that are doing so much selfless service. So next time we see a fault in someone, we should think of all of the other devotees. What we could be thinking of glorifying someone. Let's find someone we can really glorify, some devotee who's not on a high key devotee, but they're doing essential service, because every service is essential. So Prabhupada said, the society, the every part of the body is important, although the brain is apparently the most important, but the direction, he said, but you need the legs, you need the stomach, you need the arms, you need the belly as a whole to function properly. And then leaving all that aside, it's understood we're full of faults. There's no need to tell anyone else. There's no need to point them out. It's understood we are faulty. So ignoring that, we can save that time and danger, and just associate together, we can glorify. That's a positive effect. Instead of fault finding, we can glorify. Instead of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Henny's Mat. If the brahmacharis were fighting or quarreling, arguing, then he would have them sit down and say, "You say something, tell us something good about him, explain his good qualities." Then he say, "You tell something about his good qualities." Like this, they would have to face each other and say their qualities. So then, I would imagine that would be a very good purging thing if I had to do that. And then you'd really have to think. You know, even if you're angry at the person, then you have to point out their good qualities. Then that would all go away. That bad tamar and rajagun would actually disappear. That was his dynamic way of resolving some of those issues. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita Ki Jai Hare Das Pandit Ki Jai Dai Gaur Premanandi Hare 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 Krishna. Okay. Comments? Stories?